What's up, everyone? I am Coy, aka Bald Dude, Mr. Clean, and I am humbled and grateful to be hanging with you this week right here on CNN 10. Lots to get to you this beautiful Tuesday, so let's go. Starting with an update on the ongoing conflict between Russia and Ukraine. Let's take 10 to see where things stand. Russia's invasion of Ukraine began February 24th when Russian President Vladimir Putin announced a military operation in response to what he called NATO expansion against Russia. The invasion has received international criticism, and a lot of countries around the world won't do business with Russia anymore, and that has impacted the global economy. This week, Ukrainian troops have retaken more than 1,100 square miles of territory, about the size of Rhode Island, and that's more than Russian troops have captured in all operations since April. As Ukraine reclaims some domain, many military and government officials are celebrating, and some government officials across Russia are campaigning for Putin's resignation. But the war is far from over. The Russian government on Monday insisted it'll achieve its goals in Ukraine, and it's responding by hitting critical infrastructure across Ukraine and causing blackouts there. Now, while we may be living in a time of EVs, AI, robots, and drones, the military tactics of this war make the conflicts look more like they're taking place 100 years ago. Check it out.
Heavy artillery fire and a slow-moving front line. We may be in an era of technological progress, but the Russian invasion of Ukraine seems to share many similarities with conflicts 100 years ago.
In the West, for the last 30 years, we've been used to fighting against opponents who, in strict military terms, have been greatly inferior in Afghanistan, Iraq, Libya. And one of the key characteristics of those wars has been that from the start, the United States and its allies have totally dominated the air, and that has meant their opponents have had to hide. The biggest difference with this conflict, which makes it more like conventional conflicts, is that neither side completely controls the air. And that basically means that forces on the ground can move around without immediately being targeted from the air. The basic political objective of Ukraine is to maintain its sovereignty, controlling as much of its territory as possible. From the Russian point of view, their ideal objective is to destroy Ukraine as an independent state and to either annex it to Russia or to make it a satellite state of Russia. It's really critical where that front line is, because at some stage the conflict becomes more frozen and the politics will be determined by where that front line is.
10-second trivia time. President John F. Kennedy delivered his "We Choose to Go to the Moon" speech from what American university? Who says Harvard? How about Boston College? Maybe the University of Virginia? Or is it Rice? In 1962, JFK delivered his moonshot speech from Rice University in Houston, Texas.
We choose to go to the moon in this decade and do the other things. Not because they are easy, but because they are hard.
Yesterday, President Biden channeled former President John F. Kennedy at his presidential library in Boston on the 60th anniversary of that famous moonshot speech you just heard. But this time, the topic wasn't space. It was cancer. President Biden highlighted his administration's efforts aimed at, quote, ending cancer as we know it. In his speech, the president planned to draw attention to new technology that uses blood tests to screen against multiple cancers. Experts agree, though, that it's too early to know whether these tests will have any effect on cancer deaths. President Biden hopes to move the U.S. closer to the goal he set in February of cutting U.S. cancer fatalities by 50% over the next 25 years. In 2022, the American Cancer Society estimates 1.9 million new cases of cancer will be diagnosed and around 600,000 people will die from the disease. This initiative is a personal one for President Biden, who lost his son Beau in 2015 to brain cancer. It's also a complicated one, as scientists now understand that cancer is not one disease, but hundreds that respond differently to different treatments. Despite Biden's attempts to channel President Kennedy's moonshot program, his current cancer initiative lacks the same level of budgetary support as the Apollo program, which garnered public investment equaling $220 billion in today's dollars. All right, many hairs ago, I was an NFL player. So I am pumped to bring you some Tuesday motivation from one of the most improbable success stories in the league today. Young Wei Koo, Korean-born, couldn't speak any English when he moved to the U.S. at 12 years old. He was told, you're not good enough. He was cut from his team, but now he's a Pro Bowler and one of the highest-paid kickers in the NFL. Athlete or not, for those of you who have a goal to get or a point to prove, Young Wei's message is this. Tough times make us tougher. You moved to the U.S., you're 12 years old. What was that transition like? What was that experience like?
Ooh, at the time, it was tough. Like, I was in middle school, like, I had a Korean friend that was, you know, in every single one of my classes, so he can translate for me if needed to be.
You couldn't even speak English yet?
Yeah, I was in ESL for 2 years. So, you know, I remember, like, going home, because all day I'm just smiling, you know, like, nodding.
That's cool.
I don't want to look stupid, but also I don't know what's going on. And then I go home, it's like, I have no idea what happened today. And all they were saying was just like, hey, my name's this, nice to meet you, like, welcome or something.
How did football kind of help with that transition to life here in the States?
Big time. Without that, I don't think I would have, you know, known what to do, like, on the weekends. You know, like, I remember sitting in a car, going to practice with a bunch of my friends, and, I didn't know how to ask, like, hey, what do you guys do on the weekends?
You wanted to hang out.
Yeah, but I didn't know how to, like, phrase that or even, like, form a sentence at that time. So I just, like, I remember just, like, asking out, like, you know, I'm bored. But they're like, right now? Like, in a car going to practice? I was like, no, like, on the weekends. So I, like, just threw some stuff together. That, I remember that feeling. I was, like, nervous to, like, say something because, like, you know, I don't want to sound stupid, you know, at the time.
Of course.
So then that weekend they called me to hang out. So that's when I, like, really, like, picked up, man, you know, English and stuff like that. So without football, like, I probably wouldn't be talking like this or anything like that. So
did you ever experience, you know, racism being Asian American growing up?
I didn't really take it to heart. Like, I didn't really let anything, like, come to me. Just because they say something, like now, like social media is like that, right? Everybody got an opinion. Everybody has something to say. Everybody can say something if they want to. It's not really my responsibility to soak that all in and absorb them. My dad taught me, you know, from a young age, he was like, hey, football doesn't know who's kicking it.
That's right.
You're white, black, Asian, whatever, like when the ball's flying, they don't know who kicked it. So they just see the result and they see the ball and they're like, all right, that kid's good.
27 years old. Has any of this hit you yet?
No. I learned a lot from my journey. I felt like I made it my rookie year when I won the job. Going into week one, I was like, oh, this is it. Like, I did it, you know. Fast forward 4 weeks, I was cut. So I was like, it taught me. I was like, hey, this is never over. Like, you got to compete every single day. Like, you got to produce. It's a production business. That's what the head coach told me at the time when I was getting released.
What was that like when you know, you're at the Chargers, you think, I've arrived, and all of a sudden you're out in the streets?
Right. That was tough. That was tough for sure because for the first time ever, in October, during the football season, I was just sitting at home. You know, that was a huge wake up, a kind of realization of like, hey, like what went wrong there? You got to kind of dig in and see what went wrong and get ready for the next opportunity. So when it comes, this doesn't happen again.
What do you hope your story says to the next generation of Asian Americans?
I think representation is big because growing up for me in football, there was nobody that looked like me. So it was harder for me to like visualize like, oh, he's doing it. Like I can do it, you know, stuff like that. If you look at my story, you know, like I didn't speak English. I didn't know what football was. I was struggling to say, hey, what are you doing this weekend? To hear, you know, like I think, you know, anybody can if they have a dream and just chase it and work hard, set a plan and go after it.
No matter what you're going through, surround yourself with good people. And remember, you can always gain strength through your struggles. You're more powerful than you know. Speaking of powerful, today's shout out is going to Cheney Middle School in West Fargo, North Dakota. Go Packers! We hope you and everyone watching around the world have a wonderful one. I'm Coy Wire. Thanks for watching CNN 10.